Usually I would introduce the person coming up. I don't need to introduce Carol because she's known by all of us and loved by so many of us. Thank you for doing this, Carol. Who's your favourite character or the character that inspires you, and what happened to them? Just the biblical story. What was their story? Before we get into what it means to you, what happened to them?
Well, the character that I chose was Ruth. And it happened today that she was on the lectionary and the minister this morning preached about it. And I thought, okay, but I actually, you probably know the story about Ruth. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, was widowed, and her two sons also died. And that meant that Naomi was going to head back to Bethlehem, where she'd originally come from. Ruth had married one of her sons. She was a Moabite lady, and there was another daughter-in-law as well. And Naomi said to them, go back to your people. There's nothing for you with me. You just start your lives again. But off one of them trotted, Orpha, I think she was called. Ruth said, no, I'm sticking with you, Naomi. You're my family. Your people are my people. I'm going with you. Where you stay, I'm going to stay. And she stayed with Naomi, and Naomi gave up trying to tell her go away because she realized that it was God's will that she stay with her. And you probably know all the rest of the story about Ruth harvesting the fields and finding Boaz, one of her relatives, who took him under her wing and married her. And then she went on to have a son, and mention him again in a minute.
and features in... Sorry, I'm mute, my fault. And features in Jesus's genealogy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's where the son comes in.
Yeah. So why then is she so inspirational for you? And what do you find that speaks to your life?
Well, for me, she's just like an ordinary girl. And she was just like one of any of us. She married, and unfortunately she lost her husband. But she was really faithful and committed to Naomi and to God. And she didn't want to go back to the gods of her own people. She wanted to go with Naomi and stick with the God that she'd now found. And she was really committed and faithful and true. And I don't know how to explain it very well, but she what she did in her life was so important, yet she didn't realize at the time just how important it would be. And as Ian said, her genealogy goes on to, she was actually the great-grandmother of King David, and of course David was Jesus's ancestor, so she was really important in the lineage thing. I just like to remind us all really that we may not think we're doing great things in our lives, but all these little things that we do for God and for Jesus and his name, we don't know what it's going to happen, where they're going to go. And when we're gone and we can look back with God in eternity, we might find the answers.
Thanks, Carol. My brain sits here thinking, how can I sum up what people are saying? And I can't sum it up any better than that. So thank you so much. Let's just pray together. I'm going to pray for Jan because he's going to come and speak.
Yeah.
And just a quick notice as well, if we could have some help at the end of the evening with the kitchen and putting stuff back, Beverly's had to run off to her mum's. I can see she's gone already, so if we could just have some help, that'd be great. So we pray together. As we spoke of before we worship, Lord, you deal with us all individually, and our stories are unique. We thank you that you have the time for each one of us. And for each one of us, you bring out of us something precious that will glorify your name. May it be, Lord, that none of us feel that our story is insignificant. And yet we know there's big stories around which the whole of Scripture spins. And so we thank you for Abraham, for his faithfulness to you, and your faithfulness to him. So by your Spirit, come, rest on each mind here, that what Jan says may be heard as you intend, and that we may go home changed by an encounter with you.
Thanks, Ian, for leading us and for the group. I've been working here for a good couple of hours already, like music groups often do. Thank you. Just being here in the coffee shop this evening reminded me of something I saw on Facebook this week, with apologies to John Wesley. It says, drink all the coffee you can, at all the times you can, in all the places you can, with all the people you can, in all the ways you can, as long as ever you can. I don't know what John Wesley would think of that, but hopefully he had a sense of humor. What Carol has just shared is going to link in with what I'll also be speaking about this evening. But let's first look at the scripture in Genesis, starting at chapter 11 from verse 27. You probably will know that chapter 11 starts off with the Tower of Babel, and it's kind of almost like an end of a chapter. God was almost given up on the world, but here God makes a new start with this one person. These are the descendants of Terah, who was the father of Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Haran was the father of Lot, and Haran died in his native city, Ur, in Babylonia, while his father was still living. Abram married Sarai, and Nahor married Milcah, the daughter of Haran, who was also the father of Iscah. Sarai was not able to have children. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, who was the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, Abram's wife, and with them he left the city of Ur in Babylonia to go to the land of Canaan. They went as far as Haran and settled there. Terah died there at the age of 205. And then going on into chapter 12, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your relatives, and your father's home, and go to a land that I am going to show you. I will give you many descendants, and they will become a great nation. I will bless you and make your name famous, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and through you I will bless those who bless you, but I will curse those who curse you, and through you I will bless all the nations. When Abram was 75 years old, he started out from Haran, as the Lord had told him to do, and Lot went with him. Abram took his wife, Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the wealth and the slaves they had acquired in Haran, and they started out for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land until he came to the sacred tree of Moreh, the holy place at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were still living in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, this is the country that I'm going to give to your descendants. Then Abram built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. After that, he moved on south to the hill country east of the city of Bethel and set up his camp between Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There also he built an altar and worshipped the Lord. Then he moved on from place to place, going towards the southern part of Canaan. And then just a few verses in Hebrews chapter 11, which of course is the chapter on the great heroes of faith. Some verses here about Abraham. Hebrews 11 verse 8. It was faith that made Abram obey when God called him to go out to a country which God had promised to give him. He left his own country without knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as a foreigner in the country that God had promised him. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who received the same promise from God. For Abram was waiting for the city which God has designed and built, the city with permanent foundations. The call of Abraham is very well known amongst people of faith. But what isn't nearly as well known is the section that comes just before it that I read at the end of chapter 11. And there we read about Abram's father, Terah. He lived in Ur, or in Babylonia, which was a center of great wealth and learning at the time, very much the center of the world. And we read that he left Ur and headed towards Canaan. We're not told whether God led him, but we're told that he left and he went towards Canaan. But he only got as far as Haran, although I don't think it was called Haran yet. I'm guessing it was named after the son who had died back in Ur, his son Haran. And Terah settles there until the time of his death. And I kind of wondered to myself, did God maybe have plans for Terah? Plans which in the end were transferred, as it were, passed on to Abram when Terah failed to reach Canaan. As I said, Haran, where Terah eventually settled and died, was the name of Abram's brother. Terah's one of his sons. And to me, with a little bit of maybe preacher's license, it seems maybe almost to be saying that maybe Terah never came to terms with his son's death. And somehow maybe that fact prevented him from reaching the destination for which he had originally set out. As I say, that might be a little bit of preacher's license. But if it is true in any way, I think it is a reminder to us to be careful of not allowing the setbacks in our lives, the sadnesses, the tragedy, to deflect us from the direction in which we believe God has called us. And so it is that God calls Abram to leave Haran and his family and the wealth that he had built up there and to set out for Canaan. And so we are reminded here, as I'm sure we'll see in other cases as well, that obeying God's call sometimes involves becoming separated from family and friends. In Abram's case, it was a geographic separation. Sometimes it's an emotional separation as we set out on some course and family maybe don't understand what we are about, or they don't like what we've decided to do. And that's a difficult tension, isn't it? The Bible calls us to be faithful to father and mother, to children, to family. But it calls us above that to be faithful to God's call. And if there is any conflict, then it is God's call that we must be faithful to. Jesus, we know himself, was misunderstood by family. Right from the time when he was a youngster of 12 years old, and he goes with his family to the temple in Jerusalem. And he's left behind there or stays behind, and his parents spend 3 days looking for him. And his response to them is, didn't you know that I had to be about my father's business? Here is his earthly father and mother, but he says, didn't you know that there is something greater? There's a greater calling from my heavenly father, and that was for him the priority. Like many people that God calls, maybe even most of them, Abram wasn't anything special. He and his family were essentially herders. They were a bit like modern-day Bedouins, maybe gypsies, we could say. And in the eyes of others, they were just one or two rungs up above slaves in the social ladder. But it is to such a person that God gives this call. I think of somebody like Mary, insignificant teenage girl living in the backwaters of Palestine. And just as Abram becomes the agent of God's call to the people of the Old Testament, so that is continued in Mary as she becomes, as it were, the channel of God's call and God's work of salvation through Jesus. And as Carol was saying, it's important to remember that God calls all sorts of people. No matter how important or unimportant we may be, no matter how learned or unlearned, no matter how old or young. Abram, together with somebody like Moses, they were kind of well into retirement already. Abram, 75, Moses, 80 years old. So don't think about permanent retirement for too long. At the other end of the scale, of course, you've got Mary, as I say, a teenager. You've got Samuel, just a little nipper, really. And as has often been said, more than our ability, God is interested in our availability. God doesn't call us because we are great, because we are equipped, but God calls us, and when we obey, then he will equip us for that task. I think the common characteristics of many of these people who are called by God is what the Bible calls the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. And if you think about it, those things go together, really, don't they? If you're going to respond to a call, obviously you have to be obedient. But that obedience invariably involves faith, because obedience to God's call invariably is just the first step. You don't know where that call is going to lead you, just as it was with Abraham and others. And so it is the obedience of faith. It is stepping out in faith simply because you believe that this is a path in which God is setting you. Twice in that passage in Genesis, we hear that Abram built an altar to the Lord, and that happened again after that, further along in his life. And I love the thought that I read in preparation for this, where somebody said that Abram's life was characterized by tents and altars. His life was characterized by tents on the one hand and altars on the other hand. And of course, tents represent impermanence, don't they? Something temporary. Altars, on the other hand, represent something more substantial, more solid, more permanent. And of course, it is the altars in the end that really characterize the important part of Abram's life. His outer life was a life in tents, but his essential life and his relationship with God was something solid like that altar. There's that verse in Hebrews 11 where he read that says he lived in tents For Abram was waiting for the city which God has designed and built, the city with permanent foundations. He lived in tents, but he knew that there was something very much better in the future. And that's a reminder to us, isn't it, that if we're going to be obedient and available to God, we need to be careful of becoming attached to physical, material things. If Abram had built himself a brick stone mansion in Haran, maybe there's a good chance that he would have just stayed there. It would have been difficult to leave it behind. And in a similar kind of way, we need to travel light. We need to live with open hands, not hands grasping onto the things that we want to hold on to, but open hands for God to give, for God to take away as He chooses. And so Abram had his priorities right. And in faith, he obeys as he sets out, not knowing where God would be taking him. As one commentator has said, if he had not answered that call, Israel would not have reached the promised land, the church we love would not exist, there would be no scriptures for us to study, and our lives would be emptied of everything that makes them worthwhile. I wonder if Abram, I guess he didn't realize, did he, just how much might have hinged on his obedience. And for us as well, a God-pleasing life is a life in which we are constantly alert and obedient to God's nudges and callings. And it's not just about big things like leaving one's country, as Abram did. It's all about also about the smaller ways in which God calls us. Maybe He calls someone to adapt their life so that they can take care of an aging parent or a needy child. Maybe He calls us to get involved in some outreach in the church or the community. Maybe He calls us to leave a lucrative job in order to serve Him more fully. I like to think that whenever we obey God in smaller or bigger ways, it's almost like adding another rock onto that altar. And we are building up that altar, that symbol of worship, that symbol of permanence, a symbol of something that will last, not just through this life, but into the life beyond. And not like the tents that with this physical life will wear out and be left behind. Altars and tents. And I think each day, maybe in some ways, we are either building up the altar or we are building up and being focused on the tent, that which will be left behind. Just as we come towards an end, I want to point out, as I'm sure you're also aware, that despite his obedience, Abram didn't have a great deal to show for his life when he came to the end of it. God had promised him a country. All he's got is a plot of ground just a bit bigger than a grave, which he'd bought, in which to bury his wife, Sarah. God promised him a nation. What has he got when he dies? One member of that nation, Isaac. But you see, Abram was part of a bigger picture, as Carol was saying. He's one link in a chain of God's purposes, and so are we also. And we also are unlikely to see great returns on our obedience to God's call. But God is able to see the whole picture, and maybe, as Carol said, maybe one day we too will be able to see the picture, all the connections and the links. Don't worry about the World Wide Web. Imagine the heavenly universal web of God's connections and God's links and plans for his people. All that we have to do is to be faithful in our small part, whatever it may be. No more, no less than that. During the 1800s, a Sunday school teacher in America led a young shoe salesman to the Lord. The shoe salesman, name we will know, Dwight Moody, a great evangelist. The name of the Sunday school teacher we probably don't know, a Mr. Kimball. Moody, of course, became a great evangelist. He influenced people. He had a big influence on a preacher by the name of F.B. Meyer. Meyer preached on college campuses around America and was responsible for leading to Christ one J. Wilbur Chapman. Chapman became involved in the YMCA, and he arranged for a former baseball star named Billy Sunday to go and speak in a certain town in Carolina. And at that meeting, a young man was converted. His name, Billy Graham. But I believe in God's estimation that Mr. Kimball's faithfulness in his call to be a Sunday school teacher was right there on a par with Billy Graham's faithfulness in preaching around the world to millions of people. It's about simply fulfilling the call that God has given us, not worrying about the next person, not envying the gifts that somebody else may have, but just being ourselves and playing our part in the great chain of God's plans and purposes for his world and for his kingdom. Let's pray together. Lord, we marvel again how you call people, how you trust people. You, the perfect God, entrusting your work to such frail and imperfect people. And yet, Lord, that is how you choose to do things. And thank you that you can and do work even through us as very ordinary people. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Be sensitive to your voice, to be sensitive to your call. And so each day in our lives, as it were, to build up an altar, to build up an altar of dedication, an altar of worship, of something that will last in our relationship with you, that will last through this life and beyond it, to that life with you, with all your people. Amen.